Hey, plant friend, quick announcement at the top of the show. I wanted to let you know I'm offering two different free online classes that are 45 minutes each that are designed to help you get the most out of your spring this year. I want spring and summer 2025 to be your best houseplant growth seasons yet. And the way that you'll sign up for these classes, which are completely free, is by going to growingjoywithmaria.com/class. There's two options. The first up is the Spring Houseplant Boost. Supercharge your plant growth in three simple steps. And this is a 45-minute class all about how to utilize spring to set your plants up for insane growth this year. And then the second class is called The Ultimate Guide to Moving Indoor Plants Outside and Three Mistakes to Avoid. A lot of people move their plants outside in the spring, which is fabulous, but there are massive mistakes you can do that can result in some pretty bad stuff. So this class is going to go over how to do that. If you're interested in either classes or both classes, you can go register for free, completely free. Each class is 45 minutes at growingjoywithmaria.com/class. That's growingjoywithmaria.com/class. I cannot wait to hang out with you live and share my tips. One of my most favorite flowers I have ever grown is a dahlia called Kogane Fubuki, which was a pink and yellow ombre flower. So it started out pink in the center and did this ombre effect into yellow. It would stop me in my tracks every single time I went to water it, every single time I went out to my patio. Dahlias are such a stunner in the garden, but they require special care, particularly in the setup, that other cut flowers like zinnias don't require. So I want you to have beautiful beds of dahlias blown in the wind this spring and summer. So today we talked to a dahlia expert to learn all of her tips and tricks for growing the biggest blossoms yet. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants. Plant care is self-care on Growing Joy. Hello, plant friends. Welcome back to Growing Joy with Plants. I'm Maria, the host and your new best plant friend. If you're new here, I'm here to help you grow joy and care for plants successfully. And if you're a returning listener, welcome home. What an honor to be part of your plant parenthood journey. And like Anne, the founder of Dahlia House, today's interviewee says, to know a dahlia is to love a dahlia. I feel like growing dahlias is like a rite of passage for a gardener. But they can sometimes be a bit intimidating because they come in tuber form. And, you know, you're like looking at this potato-like tuber being like, what's going on here? How do I plant this? And so if you felt intimidated, whether you're a total beginner, whether you're someone who's tried dahlias once but wants to have more blooms, a better yield, today's interview is going to set you up for success this growing season. I'm joined by Anne from the Dahlia House, who I met at the Seattle Northwest Flower and Garden Show. She is a dahlia expert. She is a dahlia grower who, in today's conversation, shares everything we need to know about dahlias from tubers to harvest, particularly a hack that I had never heard about for getting a longer vase life on a flower. I hope this episode sets you up for success and you learn so much about one of my favorite flowers. Let's dive in. Welcome to Growing Joy, Anne. I'm so excited to have you on to talk about one of my favorite flowers.
I am so excited to talk about one of your favorite flowers, which is also one of my favorite flowers.
Right. I mean, your whole business is called the Dahlia House. So I think you're probably going to win for who loves dahlias the most between the two of us. Let's be real.
I don't know. Once you see a dahlia, you love a dahlia. To see one 100%. Is to love one. So yeah, we can just tie.
For sure. So I mentioned your business, the Dahlia House. Before we dive into the epic interview on Dahlia Care, how did you become the Dahlia Lady?
You know, I was a stay-at-home mom. I still am a bit of a stay-at-home mom, but I'm running a business now out of my home. And basically, it's what all the only hobby I could eke out while I was taking care of four little girls was to grow dahlias. And I moved to the Skagit Valley. I met my first dahlia, to meet a dahlia, to love a dahlia. Dahlias literally are my gateway drug to all of the other flowers that I now grow. But my neighbors called me the Dahlia House. And it was like such an honor. I would meet somebody on the sidewalk and they'd be like, oh, do you live up? Are you at the Dahlia House? And I'm like,
yes, I am.
I guess I am. It was so, yeah, so sweet that they did that. But yeah, it was a hobby that turned into a business. And I have a couple other YouTube episodes and interviews on how my business got started. And it's a really good story that talks about how really awesome humanity is. So yeah, if your listeners want to find out about that, I can link those to this, or you can link them or whatever. I'll send you the links. But it's really sweet how my business got.
Can we have like the 30-second high level? How did you go from garden, just growing dahlias for fun and for your hobby, to did you sell them as cut flowers, or did you always move into selling tubers?
Yeah, I'll try to do this in 30 seconds. So basically, we just gave flowers away. I helped out a lot at my kids' school. So we give them to the teachers. I divide my tubers every like 2 years by taking them out of the ground, taking a straight edge shovel, which is not the way you're supposed to do it, but whatever. I had 4 kids and was busy. And then I'd share my tubers with the teachers, kind of got them addicted to dahlias. But the whole reason that my business started, I wasn't trying to start a business. Basically, I had something that can happen. It's pretty rare, but it can happen when you turn lawn space into garden space. And we had a bout with something called a wireworm. And I had been growing my dahlia collection for about 20 years, and they took out 95% of all of my dahlias, which was so much birthday money. And so much time. And like, they were like my precious little flowers. So anyway, I was like, you know what? I'm going to start a business, and so I can get some wholesale. I got them wholesale. There's like 2 big whammies to this. So I lost all my dahlias. I bought them wholesale. I sold out. The sale went fantastic. Then I got them from the wholesaler, and some of them were diseased, and it's a kind of disease that can spread. And I was like, I had to cancel all of my orders, basically. So I had like no dahlias for that season. That was super sad to me, but everyone was ridiculously supportive. And so I was like, oh, clearly I'm not cut out to do this. And my husband and my therapist and my customers were like, no, you're going to do this. You're doing it. So I was like, okay, you guys, I'll do it. And one thing led to another, and here I am.
Wow. So what does your dahlia collection look like now after 90% of it got wiped out and then you had to go back? What does your garden look like? Do you grow other flowers now too?
I definitely do. I'm a sucker for cosmos, lots of spring bulbs. Anemones and ranunculus are top of my list. Peonies as well. So that happened in 2020. My business, or I lost all my tubers. I started a business in 2020. You know, everything happens in 2020. Then I just had an opportunity to farm with a friend. I live on a corner lot right by Mount Vernon in Mount Vernon City, right next to the high school. So we don't have a ton of property. I farm basically.
Oh, sorry. Just Mount Vernon, where are you located and what's your garden zone?
I'm in Mount Vernon, Washington, which is in, a lot of people know it. Yeah, as the Skagit Valley. And we just switched. We're zone 8A, but I'm actually up on the hill a little bit, which I feel like is 8B, even though a lot of where I live is 8A. It's just crazy how just elevation and little pockets can make such a big difference. So there's literally places in San Francisco that swing within like a couple of miles, like 2 growing zones. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. But anyway, so now fast forward 4 years and we're probably growing about 450 varieties of dahlias. And yeah, just a whack ton.
For flowers or for tubers?
Well, for both. So we have the past couple of years, we've had a U-Pick open to the public. This year, I think we're going to stick to more ticketed events, but where people can just...
Cool.
It's ridiculous. If you have never walked through a dahlia field, like, I wish everyone can at least once in their life, because it's like unreal. So
yeah, I mean, I've only grown dahlias once. So I used to live in zone 5B. So I had to dig all my dahlias up every year. I grew them once because I was gifted some tubers of this insane dahlia that was pink to yellow ombre. It was stunning. And I did the whole thing. I started them indoors. You know, I grew them out. You're right. To know a dahlia is to love a dahlia. To grow a dahlia is to like throw all of your other cut flowers out. You know, like there's nothing like a dahlia. There's nothing like the color. There's nothing like the density of petals and colors and variety. There's nothing like seeing them sway in the wind. Like they're just magical. But I've only grown them once, and I couldn't get over the like having to dig them up and save them. And I tried to save them 1 year and then they rotted. And then I moved to zone 10B. So I'm totally now still figuring out what I can grow. But they're so special. Why do you think dahlias are so popular? Like, why are they the most sought after flower that so many gardeners want?
I can think of two reasons off the top of my head, and maybe these are more personal reasons than everybody else. But one thing that I love about them is how different they all are. So the scope, like, you know, you see a daisy and it's all going to be pretty much the same form, maybe some different colors. You see a poppy, rudbeckia, you see a dahlia, and it's like a rainbow. The only color they don't come in is blue. And people are trying. They're trying for blue.
They're trying.
Dahlia is going to happen. You never know. But so the fact and the form. So not just all the different colors, but the different shapes. Like I teach bouquet.
Like a dinner plate dahlia versus a little pom-pom dahlia. It's crazy. They're the same type of flower.
It's correct. And they all grow the same way. They got the same genetics. They want all the same things, but they look so different. So one of the things that I love to do is like teach floral arranging and floral design. And one thing that you're looking for there is a lot of different shapes and textures. And the fact that they have so many different shapes and textures and colors means that even with just one flower, you can have like a ridiculous diversity in different arrangements and feels and stuff like that. So I love that. And I think a lot of other people love that too. The other thing that I would say is because they're so generous. So they're like doubly generous. So dahlias are a type of flower that's called cut and come again. There's lots of different flowers that fall under this category, and it's counterintuitive to most gardeners because it basically means the more you cut them, the more flowers you cut off the plant, the more flowers you will get from the plant. So dahlias are like one of the top cut and come again flowers. So when people are out at the field and they'll see these dahlias growing, there'll be one big bloom and two like side buds. So they're cutting like this little stem. And I'm like, oh no, cut it down. Like make this big. You can fit so many more into your ball jar that way. And it just makes the plant more and more healthy, puts long stems on the dahlias for arranging. And so they're just super generous. They're also really generous in how many tubers. You put one tuber in the ground, it looks like a little dehydrated chicken leg.
Potato. Yeah.
Yeah. That potato. And you put that in the ground. And when you dig it up in just 1 year, you might have like 5 or 10 or 15 more like plants that you can have next year from that. They're just really prolific. They want to like, they beg to be shared, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So they're very generous and a little high maintenance for some people who are like me coming from a zone 5B. So can you walk us through what we need to know about how to grow dahlias? Maybe we have listeners who have always wanted to grow them. You know, this is releasing in April. This is good time for people to start thinking about their dahlias for most of the zones. Not me. We're taking me out of this conversation in 10B. What do we need to know with dahlias? Because it's not a zinnia seed that you take out of the seed packet, you put in your grow bag, and it's going to give you a flower in a couple of months. It's a little, there's a little more investment up front.
There is. It really depends on where you are. I am lucky enough to be in the Pacific Northwest in a grow zone that like the ground doesn't ever have a super hard freeze, at least not like 6 inches down. So I left mine in year after year after year. And storing, when you take them out of the ground, you do need to find a good place to store them temperature-wise and humidity-wise. And I definitely have a hack for that. But a lot of times you end up losing some in storage. Even really good growers will project a loss for a certain amount of tubers that will either shrivel or just not make it well. And I was finding that around here, it's the same amount. If I left them in and didn't do anything with them, Mother Nature took almost better care of them than my basement. So, and then I didn't have to dig them up. So I can basically give you like the shoulds of everything, but I cut any corners that I possibly can because poor kids, keeping them alive and fed and watered, that was all I could do. If someone was going to die, it was going to be the plant. So
let's go through the shoulds. Let's go through the shoulds. But let's also keep in mind those of us who are coming out of a winter where we can't leave them in the ground. So say we order them from you and or we go to our local garden center and we get our first dahlia tubers that come in the bag with, you know, the scraps, like the shavings of stuff. What are the things that we need to know when we're receiving our dahlia tuber and wanting to pot it up?
Okay. The first thing that I would say is actually a tiny bit backed up from that, in that a lot of the tubers that you will that like big box stores will source, and sometimes even nurseries will source, will have come from Holland. And it's actually really important that you know where your Dahlia tubers came from, because there's certain kind of diseases that dahlias can carry. It's not good for them. They don't thrive, but they also get that disease into your garden beds and it kind of spreads to other things. So you just want to make sure as you're sourcing your Dahlia tubers that you're getting it from somebody who states like what their disease protocol is. And it's not hard to have healthy Dahlia tubers. You just need to follow some steps. And that's the grower's job to know how to do that. So just make sure you know where you're getting your Dahlia tubers from. There's tons of awesome farms online that you can do that from. So basically, you're going to get it. It's either going to, you know, if you ordered it from us, it'll come to you at a time of year that is close to when you can plant it. So some, we can be shipping them to Southern California, Texas, places like that now, but we will wait to ship. If you live in South Dakota, you're probably not going to get yours till like end of April. So because they can't freeze. If they freeze, they just turn into mush and they're not viable anymore. So yeah, when you get your Dahlia tuber, if you're not ready to plant it right away, you can literally stick it in your fridge. You just need to keep it cool. So ideally between 40 and 50 degrees, but just make sure that it doesn't freeze. And you want to, if you're not able to plant it right away, just want to keep it cool and be checking on it to make sure that it doesn't rot or anything like that. So keep it in a little bit of a humid environment, but you don't need to like water it or anything.
You know, it's stressful times, and we've got Mother's Day, Father's Day, wedding, celebrations coming up, and it is time to get some gifts. And what I really wish that I had is a magic wand that could take all of my loved ones' stress away and make their life more simple, more soothing, more calming. And unfortunately, plant friends, that magic wand doesn't exist yet, but I have found the next best thing, and it's Wind River Wind Chimes. So for the last couple of years, these wind chimes have truly turned my home into a sanctuary. Whenever I hear them blowing in the wind, it is this gentle moment to take a deep breath, to pause, to exhale, to be present. They have brought me so much joy and relaxation, and I am gifting that joy and relaxation to everyone in my life right now. I cannot imagine a better gift to give this Mother's Day, this Father's Day, for upcoming weddings, upcoming graduations, especially because when you use the code GROWINGJOY at checkout, you get a free engraving on the wind sail of the wind chime that you get. And you can engrave that wind sail with a special message, a date, a name, and in memory of. And it makes the wind chime so special. And also it makes whoever you gifted the wind chime to think of you every time it blows in the wind. I just gave my mom one for Christmas, actually. And I engraved her favorite saying, "I'm a lot of fun," on the wind chime, and she is absolutely obsessed with it. So gift your loved one something they're obsessed with this season and something that relaxes them with a Wind River Wind Chime, and get that free engraving. So you're going to go to windriverchimes.com and use code GROWINGJOY at checkout for your free engraving. It's a gift that is going to soothe the soul of whoever you're gifting it to. Once again, that's windriverchimes.com with code GROWINGJOY at checkout for that free engraving. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about five key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.
Another thing that you can do, though, is kind of start it up inside, which is what you were saying that you did with yours. Mm-hmm. So places that are really, really cold, their growing window for dahlias is shorter. So they don't have as much time to go from starting to bloom as, say, I do. I have like 6 months that the dahlias could grow for me. So if you don't want to babysit in the fridge, you can really start it up. You can pot it up if you want and put it in not necessarily a sunny window, but just somewhere where it's not going to get super baked. But the other thing that you can do, which I do, is I just get a grocery bag, a plastic grocery bag, and put a handful of soil in it. Maybe like put it under my kitchen sink and go just like that much water. And then throw like one or five or however many tubers of that variety I have. And I just let them sit in the corner of my dining room floor. And what that does is it basically says, hey guys, it's time to wake up. And it starts getting little feeder roots. It starts, you know, you'll start getting little eyes that are sprouting. So you can do that for like 2 or 3 weeks and that starts to wake it up early. So if it's too cold outside to plant, if it's in your dining room, you're extending that time. So those are two different things that you can do if you don't have time to plant. But once you get it and it is time to plant, a lot of people go by if the lilacs are blooming, it's time to plant your dahlias.
Okay.
Or if you're starting, yep. If the lilacs are blooming, or like if you're starting to see like the peonies are starting to, you know, start growing and stuff, like you see a peony bloom, I would definitely, you can get your dahlias in. So ideally you want the temperature of the soil to be around 50 degrees. I've never like taken the temperature of my soil. I have no idea how to even do that, but that's what people say. That's the shoulds. So, and dahlias are super heavy feeders. And so what I do is I always just put a whack ton of compost in my beds. You can get compost in bags at the hardware store. Kind of doesn't matter. You can get organic if you want. And compost is basically like bigger chunks of things that are decomposing. And it acts as a slow release fertilizer. So I know that like with houseplants, there's probably certain ones that you want to have a slow release fertilizer in there. And compost is the outdoor version of that. So I mix in probably about 4 inches to the top 4 or 5 to the top foot of my soil. And then I'll plant my dahlia tuber. I don't plant them very deep. People say plant them 4 to 6 inches deep, but because I lift mine out every year, I don't have to worry about them being close to the surface and freezing. Mm-hmm. So I plant mine just like 2 inches deep because it's easier to get out in the wintertime.
Okay. So you're waiting now, the lilacs blooming. I love that. Is it a certain amount of time after your frost date for those who might not know when the lilacs bloom, but know when their frost date is?
Our frost date is May 14th-ish. And I always try to have my dahlias in the beginning of May. So if you have like a super cold front where you're in a place where it can be like 0 degrees one day, 50 degrees mm-hmm. the next, if your ground is workable, and it's pretty close to your frost date, you can get them in. If you're, you know, kind of worried about it, you can start them inside on your dining room floor or wherever. Mm-hmm. And just to get them going and then pop them outside when, like, yeah, on your frost date. But usually you can plant them a little bit before then.
And I know that there's a whole thing with the eyes of the dahlia. So when you're planting the tubers into the ground after you have 50 degree soil temps, is there a certain way that you're supposed to plant them in regards to the eyes?
Yeah. So I should like go and grab some really quick in the other room. But my friend Kristen is literally in my kitchen dividing them right now. But basically, the tubers are long and skinny, or sometimes they're fat and long or short, or they come in lots of different shapes and sizes. But basically, when you plant a tuber and it grows, there's a main stalk that grows up. And that's what comes above the surface. And you get all your flowers underneath. Basically, it starts forming all these other legs, like these tubers. And those, each tuber, as long as it has an eye, is a viable tuber. An eye is where the stalk will grow the next year. So if a tuber doesn't have an eye on it, it's not going to have a stalk. It doesn't have a place to grow. So when you plant the dahlia tuber, ideally, you plant it on its side. You plant it like this. And the eyes are always on the top of the tuber, the crown. And so ideally, I mean, sometimes they have an eye on top and on bottom, and that's fine. They just go down to come up. They will find their way to the surface. So really, like, whatever way you plant them, they're going to be just fine. I mean, if you plant them upside down, like with the eyes like this, they will still be fine. Your tubers might be a little weird when you dig them up. But yeah, ideally, you just lay it on its side with its eyes facing up. And yeah, it'll do great.
And then the eye sprouts, the stalk goes up. Are you pinching your dahlias? Is there anything in terms of that, you know, those first couple of months of your dahlia growing? Are there any great tips for ensuring as many blooms as possible?
Yes, there's two big tips. The first I would say is if you have snails and slugs in your area, you're going to want to get something called Sluggo Plus, not just the regular Sluggo, it's Sluggo Plus. It's organic, safe for kids and pets. So it's totally safe to use in your garden. And actually what I do is even before I plant my dahlias, so probably sometime in early April, I'll go out and do an application. It's sprinkled granules and they last through the rain. So they'll last like several weeks to start to get my snail and slug population under control because they love fresh dahlia sprouts. Mm. So that's like their favorite thing in all the lands. And then when you get the Sluggo Plus, you're also kind of helping prevent some of the bugs like earwigs and stuff like that, that could give you some trouble later on in the season. So it's just a great product that I use every year. So I put Sluggo Plus down. I end up doing probably two or three applications. One definitely when I'm planting the tubers. And then some varieties you'll see pop up pretty soon. Some varieties take like a month before you even see them coming up out of the ground. And so I do a Sluggo Plus at time of planting, and then I do another one like 3 or 4 weeks later, just to ensure that there's some on the surface to protect my little tiny plants to come up. So, and then the next stage is when they're about 8 to 12 inches high-ish. I mean, that's when you're supposed to do it. I've whacked them when they're like 2 feet or like this big because I'm going on vacation. But anyway, you take the first two sets of leaves off your plant. And the reason that you do that is because when you do that, as a dahlia stalk grows, it's going to make like basically one stalk that will have flowers come off of it. When you take that main stalk and pinch it off, it basically makes four main stalks instead of one because it makes the way that dahlias grow is they have stalks coming out of leaf nodes. And so it takes the top two leaf nodes and makes four stalks out of them. And it also helps the stem length of the flowers. Then they kind of have to reach for the sky. They're a little bit more competitive. It makes their stem length much longer. You get literally at least three times the amount of blooms that you would. Yeah, it's crazy.
So just to make sure I understand what you're saying. So I see the shoots start coming out. And the minute the first leaves that I see that shoot pop out, the first pair of leaves, I'm pruning back.
Yes, but you need to wait until it gets to like 8 to 12 inches tall. Because if you do it too soon, the plant is pretty fragile at that point. So you want to wait till its stalk is a little bit more hardy. You've got 8 to 10 inches and you just take the top two, like there'll be the sets of leaves go like this and this and this. So you just take the top two and pinch it off. You can snip it off if you want. I just pinch it off.
Oh, so you're saying the top two, sorry, because I'm thinking the first two leaves. So if you prune, then the stalk has no more leaves on it. You're saying let the stalk grow 8 inches, have several sets of leaves, and you're pinching the top set of leaves.
Correct. The top like two set of leaves.
So once you pinch those top two sets of leaves, there's still going to be a couple of leaves on the bottom of the plant.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay. Because then that's what's photosynthesizing to send out the new four shoots. Okay, cool, cool, cool. So then what? Are we fertilizing? Are we, or do we just like sit back and let the plants do their thing?
You sit back and let the plants do the thing. People will ask me like, oh, when do you ever get a month off? And I'm like, June. June is my month off. And they're like, what? And I'm like, it's because the dahlias are in and they're just growing. Like they're pinched, they're growing, and I can leave town. So yeah, it takes probably at least 2 months for them to grow up, get big enough to put on their first bloom. We try to have ours all in by May 1st around here. And if we have a bloom on the 4th of July, we're like, that's amazing. So, but it usually takes until like August 1st to have probably, I would say 20 to 25% of blooms on the plant or the plants in bloom, I should say.
So it's a slow burn. It's a practice in patience because you're waiting for that plant to really leaf out and grow.
It is. Yeah. But that being said, you can also, there's a lot of they extend late into the season. So they're almost like a late summer fall bloomer around here. But there's a ton of things that you can grow or even kind of companion plant if you wanted to, so that you still have stuff that's blooming in June and July. But yeah, they're a slow burn. But then they'll bloom for like 3 months. So,
and it'll be so worth it. So if you're growing dahlias and you want to share a bouquet of your dahlia blossoms, what are your tips for cutting the dahlias off and creating a long vase life for them?
I have one main tip for creating long vase life, and this is not just applied to dahlias. It applies to literally at least 90% of all other flowers. And it's something that my mom taught me when I was a kid, and I had no idea how right she was. But basically, I'll go outside and harvest blooms. It's best to not harvest them at like the hottest time of the day, because that's just hot on them and they can sometimes have a little bit of trouble. So if you live in someplace that's super duper hot, you might want to do it in the morning or the evening. But I'll just go out, I'll have a bucket of water with me, and I'll just harvest away whatever it is that I'd like. One, I strip the leaves off, because whatever leaves you leave on the plant is going to try to keep alive. So if you can get the leaves off, you're really just wanting the bloom, then that will help it extend its vase life. But the main thing that I do is, once I'm inside and I'm making an arrangement, I will basically, when I'm ready to make the final cut on that flower, I turn on my kitchen sink and I put the end of the dahlia, or the end of whatever stem, roses, ranunculus, whatever it is you're growing, and cut it underwater. You can also have a bowl of water sitting there and cut it that way. And basically, it prohibits any air intake into the stem, and it just helps it get a big, healthy drink of water. And those blooms last usually twice as long inside. It extends their vase life. Yeah, whatever their vase life would be, they will last double that if you cut them underwater. So
that's so interesting. I've never heard that before. No. I'm realizing we're into harvesting, and I forgot to ask you, when it comes to caring for your dahlias, what's the light that they need in the garden and what are the watering requirements?
That's a great question. So they need full sun. So they need at least 6 hours of sun a day. If you live in a place that gets like 100 degrees, they are going to need some afternoon shade, I would say, because that's really hot. And usually you don't want to, I'm just plugging this right now while I'm thinking of it. If you live in a place that's really, really hot like that, but will still sustain dahlias, usually you don't want to get the leaves wet when you're watering your flowers, but you can actually hose them off, like cool them off like they're your kids outside. And and you can get, just as long as the leaves have time to dry before the nighttime comes, because you don't want to make powdery or make a environment for powdery mildew. Yeah, if they can dry off, which in 100 degree weather, they will in like probably 30, 45 minutes, it helps the entire plant cool down, which is pretty crazy.
And in terms of spacing, if I wanted to grow in a container, what size container should I put a dahlia in? And then also, what spacing guidelines for if I'm growing in ground?
Okay, that's a great question too. Although I didn't answer the watering question. Oh yeah, sorry, I'm backing up. So watering, they don't like to sit in a puddle. They don't need to be watered like sweet peas or ranunculus that need to stay almost consistently wet. Dahlias can like totally dry out. Their tubers are really good at keeping water. That said, they're not like a cactus. So you will notice the leaves starting to get a little bit sad. And if you notice that, you definitely need to water them. Around here in the Pacific Northwest, where our dirt doesn't get super duper hot, they don't usually get baked, I give them like a good soak once a week. And sometimes if it's really warm and pretty dry, I will water them twice a week. And it's much better to do just kind of like a big, deep soak and then stop, than little soaks every day, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. So their roots establish and anchor them in, because they're big plants too.
Yeah. They usually grow between 3, unless you have a dwarf variety, they'll be between 3 and 5 feet tall. In terms of spacing, the closest that I space mine is 12 inches apart. When I do space them 12 inches apart, if you're going to do like a big long bed, there's two considerations that you need to think about. One is that, like we said, some of them grow pretty tall, and some of them, especially dinner plates, if you have a variety that has a really big bloom, they're going to act kind of like peonies and flop over because they're so heavy. So I do some sort of staking. Some people stake their individual plants or put a tomato cage around them or something like that. Because I grow so many, I use T-posts, but you can use any really sort of stake. A T-post is like a big metal stake that farmers use. But you can get a bamboo stake or whatever you want. You put it on one end and then one on the other of your row or section of dahlias, and then you just corral them with twine. So once they're getting about 3 feet tall, I would probably at about 2 feet tall on the ground, you just tie a string in one run end and then make a loop, tie it around, and that just helps them to have the support that they need.
Got it. And then if I was going to grow in a container, what size container?
Dahlias are a little bit picky. It's almost like, even though you can plant them at 12 inches apart, I feel like they know when they're in a pot and they get a little bit mad at you. They're like, wait a second, I'm in a pot? So I prefer to, even if you're going to do, you could do like 3 in one pot, but make the pot pretty dang big. So if you have like an 18-inch pot, you could probably plant 3 of them in there.
Okay.
But just so that they have room to kind of stretch out, if that makes sense, their tubers. If you put them like in an 8-9-inch pot,
they're going to be unhappy.
Yeah, they will. You can still pinch them and water them. If you grow them in a pot, make a lot of that compost because they're heavy feeders and they'll have a limited amount of soil.
What about varieties? Like, are there beginner varieties and advanced varieties? Like, what would you recommend for someone who's never grown dahlias before? What variety would you recommend? And then for someone who has grown dahlias before, but maybe wants to like take it up a notch, what would you recommend?
Honestly, I don't think that there's a big difference in the varieties in terms of some are easier, some are hardier. There are like some, the tubers restore a little bit better for some, and some bloom a little bit earlier. But honestly, I find that the biggest difference in the dahlias is the size and then how long they last in a vase. Their vase life can vary. So if you have a dinner plate or a water lily, something where there's big, broad leaves that are just expansive and kind of pokey, for lack of a better word, those will kind of fade a lot quicker than a ball dahlia. There's lots of different varieties. There's pom-poms. There's pretty big balls that you can get that are about 6 inches wide. And like those will last the longest in a vase. And those are the most durable. So if you're transporting them, even the balls, when they knock against each other, they're not going to get damaged. Mm-hmm. But if you have like big dinner plates, if I'm doing an event and have to have a bunch of cafe au lais, I got to give them their own space because they're a little bit more, the blooms are a little bit more fragile. So I guess that's probably what I would keep in mind. Yeah. I guess the other thing that I would say is there's a term that's called unicorn dahlia. That basically means that it's one that's been on your list. It's kind of like elusive. There's not very many available. A lot of times some of the popular hybridizers will have a couple come out every year and they're like labeled the unicorns because there's not going to be very many of them. They're going to be really expensive and hard to get your hands on. So if you're just starting out, I would stay away. I would get an $8 dahlia tuber, $10 dahlia tuber from somewhere and not start with like $3, $45 dahlia tubers.
Yeah. That's a great piece of advice. I do have to ask though, what are in 2025, like what are the hot dahlia varieties?
Ooh.
Okay, so you know how in spring everything starts to feel lighter? I switch my hot coffee to my iced coffee. I start drinking more smoothies. I try and align my food with the fresh, vibrant energy of spring. Well, one of the biggest supports for these swaps that I make to still make them delicious is Manu Kora honey. You've heard me talk about them on this podcast. I'm obsessed. I use it almost every day. It's my secret ingredient in my morning iced coffee and in my smoothies. So I make a dupe of the very well-known brown sugar shake an espresso from a well-known barista. We won't name names. You take a spoonful of this rich, creamy honey by Manu Kora. You add espresso or coffee, your milk of choice, and ice. You shake it up so it gets frothy. It is so freaking good. Or I drizzle it over a smoothie bowl, or I put it in a smoothie. And honestly, in the middle of the afternoon, I will take a spoonful of Manu Kora honey and just eat it. Eat it right off the spoon, raw, for a midday energy boost. But Manu Kora honey isn't your average honey that you get from a honey bear. It's ethically harvested from the remote forests in New Zealand, and it's packed with powerful nutrients that support your immunity and your gut health. It has 3 times the antioxidants and prebiotics of regular honey. Plus, it's tested for potency, so you know exactly what you're getting, and it has never been easier to try Manu Kora honey for you plant friends. They are offering us a great deal. You can go to manukora.com/bloom to get $25 off the starter kit, which comes with their 850 plus Manukora honey jar, 5 honey travel sticks, which are low-key amazing for a weekend away, a wooden spoon, and a guidebook. That's Manukora, M-A-N-U-K-O-R-A, manukora.com/bloom for $25 off your starter kit. You will not be disappointed. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.
It's actually at this point, it is hard to keep track of all that. And it's kind of my job to keep track of that because there's so many home gardeners, literally people like you and me that like get into dahlias and they're so fun to hybridize, especially if you're like somebody that likes surprises. So there's a huge movement of dahlia hybridizers that have gotten into this just over the last 5 years. And so there are a truckload of new dahlia varieties coming out now. It is so exciting. So there's some really, really well-known hybridizers. Christine Albright is out of California. She does all of the KA varieties that you'll find, and they're just stunning. She's a really good hybridizer. So she makes sure that they'll have really good tuber production, really good stem length, be disease resistant. She's very picky in what she allows. It takes about 3 to 5 years to like make an actual variety come to the market. Yeah, it's a long process, but there's a lot of home gardeners that have also, there's so much access to information online. They're doing this at home. I mean, I am not super into hybridizing. I accidentally made one that we actually love. So we've kept this one variety going, but we sell dahlia tuber or dahlia seeds. And dahlia seeds is the way that they are hybridized because they have cross-pollinated. And so you have no idea what you're going to get. And so a lot of them, you know, will be have some undesirable traits, but every once in a while you get one that's just unbelievable.
Oh, that's so cool. What's the number one mistake you see beginner dahlia growers making?
That's a good question. I would say under-fertilized, and around here, sometimes people can actually underwater them because they're like, oh, we live in the Pacific Northwest. The rain's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they need some water. So, but I think that like when I'm driving around, the biggest thing that I see is that people have planted dahlias or whatever in the same soil year after year after year without amending it with any organic material. And so it's just a white loaf of bread versus the multigrain, you know, kind of a thing. So they're heavy feeders. And so
you mentioned how you amend your soil with compost every year in the beginning of the year. Are you also going in and fertilizing your dahlias once a month in the growing season? What's your fertilization recommendations?
I am a lazy fertilizer. So I just do a whack ton of compost. There's something called Calma Calmeprig or Calmepro. I get it in a 50-pound bag. It's like white dust, but it's basically like a calcium fortification. And that basically helps your tubers to be a little bit more tough and to store better. So I can like send you a link to that. And I'm sure you can get it not in a 50-pound bag, but I always put that in the field as well because I find it adds a little edge to my Dahlia tubers in storage. And then also at time of planting, when I get them in the ground, I do put a balanced fertilizer, something that's really low number. I wouldn't go anything over like 10, 10, 10 or 12, 12, 12, but I do apply that pretty generously so that it can soak in as the Dahlia tubers are starting. So all of my fertilizer for them is just at time of planting. And I do those three things. I know other people that do compost tea, other people that spray it with molasses. That helps kind of for bug prevention. We just haven't had a lot of insect pressure. We've just been really lucky. So I haven't really had to go into any of those things. But there's definitely lots of information on that online if you have specific problems with thrips or with, you know, aphids or whatever. But yeah.
Do you have a favorite Dahlia variety that you grow?
That's like asking if I have a favorite child.
I know, favorite child. Yeah.
So
I got to ask though, you know, your answer can be no, but I have to ask you.
Yeah. One of my favorites, which is a newer, at least it was new to me last year, was Café de Paris. And it's an offshoot of Café au lait. I mean, Café, it sounds so smug. It's like saying you think Brad Pitt's hot or something because it's like everyone does. Okay. But so Café au lait is just ridiculously gorgeous all the time, forever and always. And Café de Paris is a child. I don't know how to genetically say that. It's an offshoot genetically of Café. So that's a ridiculously gorgeous one. And what makes it super unique is it carries the colors of Café, but it has almost like spiralized petals. So it's really interesting. It's very unusual. So we just had that last year. We only had like 5 tubers of it. So we're going to be able to offer some, but not very many this year. So
wow. That's so cool. Well, it's fun that you could grow dahlias for the rest of your life and you could always grow a new variety every single year if you want. And that's also once you start growing, you can start dividing your tubers and trading your dahlia friends. You know, I've got a Café au lait, you have a Café Paris, let's trade. And, you know, that's fun. That's like with houseplants, like trading propagations of plants. It's literally the same thing, but with dahlias, which is
100%.
So cool. Yeah. So if anyone 100%. Is inspired, you know, you sell high quality dahlia tubers. I met you at the Northwest Flower and Garden Show. You had this beautiful booth with your tubers and photos of all of the different plants that you sell. So tell us about the Dahlia House and where people can find you should they decide to begin their dahlia journey.
Yeah. So I don't have a shop, a physical shop. We do pop-ups like that at the flower show, but really everything that we sell is online. So it's on our website, thedahliahouse.com. And I love to send out updates and lots of sales and discounts to my newsletter subscribers. So if you go to our website and you want to become a newsletter subscriber, you can join there and then you'll find out all of the things.
When the Café de Paris is available.
Yes. Yeah. You can find that, which is going to be, you said this is airing in April. So our tuber sale will be live at this point. We are dividing just as fast as we possibly can right now. So yeah. And we sell other things right now. We've got anemone and ranunculiforms on there. Like I said, dahlias are my gateway drug. And oh my gosh, there's just so many beautiful flowers out there that can grow in so many different areas of the country. So
I know. What about zone 10B? You got anything for me to grow?
I know. We talked about it. You're in Jupiter.
Jupiter,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in Jupiter. My web designer, Jill, my really good friend, it lives in Boca. And we're going to try zinnias for her this year. And there's maybe some poppies that will grow. You have a couple really cool vines that will grow by you. Bougainvillea. Passion fruit. Bougainvillea is like just ridiculous.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, it's
everywhere. So yeah, no, it's fun. I'm trying poppies and I'm trying zinnias. And I think I've just kind of resigned to the fact that I just need to totally relearn gardening here in Florida. It's like all the flowers are totally tropical. It's totally different land. And I think maybe exotic fruits too. I'm thinking instead of, you know, but it's so wild. Like all the plants I grew, all the flowers I grew in zone 5B, like really don't translate here in Florida. So I'm like, oh, how do I do this? But it's fun. I mean, it's awesome. I'm learning so many new plant varieties, but I'm also like, wait, when do I plant? What do you mean I don't have a
freeze. Like, what do you mean I don't have a frost date? Like,
what does that mean?
My whole life revolved around my frost date for the last 10 years. And now I don't have a frost date. Oh, so it's so interesting. But you're really making me so jealous about these dahlias because I really did love growing them. But I hope everybody listening grows dahlias because it really is. It's so fun. And I totally did that starting indoors, getting them to root. And, you know, I had my little dahlia babies while, you know, there was still snow outside in upstate New York, which was super fun as well.
So cool.
Yeah, so fun. So the Dahlia House, everything will be in the show notes. Thank you so much for giving us your knowledge today. And I hope you have a beautifully blooming summer as we move into it.
Oh, the daffodils are already popping up outside. So it's starting. And so it begins around here.
Thank you so much, Anne, for this very helpful interview. You know, I can't grow dahlias anymore because I'm zone 10B and there aren't dahlias that do well in my area. And I'm really devastated because this conversation got me really excited about growing dahlias and now I can't. So please, plant friends, go grow some dahlias for me. Go forth and grow the dahlias and enjoy the unbelievable blooms and the joy that comes from these gorgeous, gorgeous blossoms. And send me all the photos of your dahlias to my Instagram so I can live vicariously through you. Definitely go check out Anne from the Dahlia House. She's got lots of awesome resources on her website. Everything is linked in the show notes. And I hope this episode was helpful and that if you choose to grow dahlias this summer, that they help you continue to keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.